You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Hey, you want an Irish pub with an Irish feel? Then the Gorgeous Gale is the place for you. Soccer fans, head over to the Gorgeous Gale, 5555 Morningside. Catch all the best soccer and football matches over there. Stop in for a pint and a bite. Whiskey offerings are excellent. Say hello to my friend Peter there. It's got a real open feel, a lot of monitors, outdoor patio. It's thegorgeousgale.com, an official Soccer Matters pub. It's also where the Liverpool fans go. All right, he is the host of Winalda Talks Football. He's also former U.S. international. You see him consistently on Fox as an analyst, and he's an all-around good guy. Joins us right now, Eric Winalda. Eric.
Hey, so are you? I would put you in that same category. Hey, all around good guy.
You know, I'm trying hard to get into that category. So it's a good place to be. We got you fresh off your serious show, which we appreciate, and I'm sure you guys were talking a lot about Bob Bradley. And I thought today, I'm thinking, well, I got to get Eric on because you played for Bob. You know the guy inside and out. Tell us about him, and tell us why it'll work at Swansea.
Well, I mean, it is interesting. I mean, there's been a lot of people have chimed in since his appointment, and the initial reaction was, "Oh, it's American owners, and that's the only reason why he got the job, is because he's American, and then they wanted to keep it in house or what have you." That's just ridiculous. And what I will tell you about Bob, and what I know in my time with him, not only did I play for him, and as you said, I coached with him as well, is that he's an incredibly impressive guy. And you know, if that ownership group or whoever took him to dinner or conducted an interview, it would be my thinking that they walked away incredibly impressed with the man. And that's taking the X's and O's out of it and all that stuff. When you get put into a situation that Swansea's in, they have to make a very qualified decision right now because they are in disarray. The club has kind of lost its way to a certain extent. And they need the best man for the job. And in that sense, that doesn't surprise me at all that Bob Bradley would get this appointment, regardless of where he's from, because of his values, because of his morals, and because of the reality that he just took all the steps necessary to get this position. So everybody keeps saying, oh, but Bob Bradley deserved it. He deserved it. Of course he did. He realized that he wasn't going to get there would never be a dream realized if he didn't put in the hard work. And the hard work meant a trip to Denmark and then also to France. He got his UEFA badges as well in that process, and that's a big part of it as well, that the guy never stops working. So they probably sat down with him. They probably asked him some pretty tough questions, and he probably gave him some very good answers. Don't keep in mind, this is a Princeton guy. He's smart. He's a great listener, and he's a great manager. So if you really want to be honest, Glenn, if you start talking about, you know, which managers have had massive success in England, who's won the whole thing? How many Englishmen have won the whole thing?
Yeah, not
zero.
To mention there's only four or five English managers now, Eric. There's only four or five English managers now too. So,
right. I mean, it is a league that has been, to a certain extent, been all about the foreign management. Who's to say that Bob Bradley shouldn't be on that list? I think he's earned his way there, and I think straight out of the gates, though, man, he's got Arsenal, which could be a rough ride, but he'll steady the ship, and I think he'll earn the respect of his team and all the people that get to know him over the coming weeks.
All right, listen to this soundbite, and I want you to react. This is Chris Sutton on the BBC talking about the former Celtic player, played at Blackburn, talking about Bob Bradley's qualifications.
Well, okay. Is Bob Bradley better qualified than Steve Bruce and Ryan Giggs to get this job? I don't think so. I don't really get it. Well, I do get it. They've got American owners now, haven't they? And that's essentially why he's got the job. I thought it was the right decision to change Guidolin. I think that Swansea, for me, since Guidolin has taken charge, have lost their identity, their way of playing. So they've been bold. They've made the decision early. I don't have a problem with that. But how Bob Bradley gets his job, I do not know.
Well, tell us really how you feel, Chris Sutton. Well, there's the other side of the coin.
Well, that's fine. I mean, that's to be expected. Yep. I mean, I think that over the years, one of the things that we've constantly seen is that protection of the EPL as if it's this unbelievable entity, and it's an untouchable, and you have to really, you know, be special to be there. Look, what about that kid? The coach, was it Remy Gard? Was it last year? That's when you find out. Okay, careful what you wish for. You know, getting into a position who he had had some success. I think he had been at Lyon and was highly regarded as the guy. He had Arsene Wenger basically saying this is the guy. But the truth is, when you are put into a managerial spot in a spot of leadership, there's several different kinds of leaders. There's the kind of leader that you hire the guy, or you follow that guy because you just like him. And I think that's what Sutton's saying, is that he just thinks that he hired him because he's American and it makes sense. There's other leaders that you hire because they actually know what they're doing. If there's a war analogy there, it's the general that you follow because you believe that you're going to survive if you listen to what this man says. And that is kind of the category I would put Bob into. Because after a while, when these guys have had a chance to work with him and get to know him, and the information and the preparation has been off the hook, they will have no choice but to have some serious respect for not just the work, but the information and the wisdom and just the intuitive nature that he has. And I think that just takes time. Are we going to take 6 months and then, you know, call up Sutton and say, what do you think now? Yeah, I was wrong. I mean, how many times do we have to hear that before we realize that people that make knee-jerk decisions don't last very long in this business? And people that, for all the same reasons that he's arguing that Bob Bradley should not have been hired, are all the same reasons why he believes that someone like Steve Bruce should have been hired. So it's kind of hypocritical for him to go that angle.
Yeah, and you were mentioning Remy Gard at Aston Villa, who ended up leaving the club on mutual consent after a pretty short amount of time. Bob Bradley, we do know he probably killed it in the interview. I mean, let's face it. What I want to go to is when you were in Chicago, because I thought he got a lot out of you in Chicago.
Yeah.
What buttons did he push with you, Eric, when you were with the Fire?
Well, I remember the way it went down. It was I quit. I had had it. I was injured. I couldn't stay healthy. I was playing in New England for Fernando Clavijo at the time. It just was not a good place for me, and I wasn't in a good place mentally or physically. And I called Sunil Gulati, and I literally retired. I quit. I got on an airplane. I flew my family home, and then I followed them about 4 days later, and I said, I quit. I don't want to play anymore. And then I remember sitting home watching Josh Wolf, you know, twist his ankle around in I think it was Tampa, and thinking to myself, huh, Chicago needs a forward. Probably never happened. And a week and a half later, I get a phone call from Bob Bradley, and he had one question. He said, do you still love to play? Do you still love the game? Mm. And that was his first question. And I said, of course. And he says, well, good, because I've just traded for you. Can you be here tomorrow? And I'll never forget. I was thinking to myself, wow, can you give me a day to get it together? And then maybe I'll can I think about this? And you know, the reality was, this voice in my head was screaming, what are you doing? You finally have an opportunity to play in a good team, in a great team, with Stoichkov and Novak and Armas and Beasley and C.J. Brown and Gutierrez and Bocanegra and Zach. And I was like, I got to get on that plane. When I arrived, the message was also pretty clean. He just said, look, do your thing. Try not to make too much noise around here. We're doing things pretty well. But find your way and just let me know when you can go and when you can't. And let's just always keep that conversation going. If you're having a bad day, or those injuries are bugging you, or whatever's bothering you, I need to know so I can plan. And I'd love that. It's just straight up honesty of just. And I remember the first time, you know, I got on the field. It was just go do your thing. And Glenn, I hadn't scored in like 10 games in New England, and I scored 7.5 minutes into my first game for Chicago, and it was just one of those things where I appreciated his honesty, I appreciated his listening skills, and his ability to assess what my function was in the team, to tell me exactly what he expected of me, and then to let me find my way. And there was a couple of times where we fought, which was normal, where it was like I really thought I should have played. You know, I wanted to play in this game. Why didn't I play? And he just sit down. Let's talk about it. And that's what Bob is so good at, is you know what, you might be right, or you know what, maybe I missed that one, or what did you see? And those kind of conversations earn the respect of players, and it certainly earned my respect. I did enjoy playing for him. We almost did something special that year, but that was mainly because of his ability to, one, recognize what works, what doesn't work, and always hitting the reset button if necessary, if you had a guy acting up. He was very good.
So really quick, before I go to break, tell me how you think he's going to do there, and how important a good start is, and maybe go into the locker room side of it. Can you do that in about 2 minutes? Sure you can. You're a TV and radio guy.
Bob will have a rough start. He will.
Yeah.
This first game out of the gates will be rough, but he will steady the ship. And the by the time we get to, I would say, 2 months from now, you know, everybody will just basically be saying, I wish this guy could have been here longer. And that's, he's infectious. He's a hard worker. He'll be the first one to work and the last one to leave. He'll earn their respect, and he'll figure out a way to win. I think Swansea stays in because of Bob Bradley.
Outstanding. Good prediction. We have it on record now, Eric. Thank you very much for coming on the show. Continued success with Winalda Talks Football on Sirius. And I will see you somewhere down the road, I'm sure.
I hope so. Sooner the better.
Yeah, it's always good fun. Thank you very much for coming on, Eric.
You got it, Glenn.
Have a good night. All right, so that's Eric Winalda. There's some good stuff there on Bob Bradley in Chicago. So what was really cool was during that interview, the NWSL just invaded our ESPN studios here, and the Washington Spirit have taken over here. Head coach Jim Gabara, who I go way back with, who is a great player himself, also a U.S. international. So we've had four U.S. internationals on the program tonight. Jim's going to make it four. We got Crystal Dunn in here, and we got Joanna Lohman. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to start talking NWSL. I'll tell you what, I'm going to start it off right now. We've got a pair of tickets to the NWSL final this Sunday at BBVA Compass Stadium. Washington Spirit taking on the Western New York Flash. I mean, you got internationals all over the place. You got national team players. There's already 7,000-8,000 tickets sold. Let's make this a big day for the NWSL on Sunday. The kickoff is at 4. Sixth caller right now, you get a pair of tickets to the NWSL final. Yes, there's a trophy at stake. We'll take a break. We got more to come.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, so we got some great, we're going to do a couple segments here now on the NWSL. And again, I'm urging locals to get out to this. This is another opportunity. Our game is on national TV, this NWSL final. It's right here in Houston. It's an honor to hold it. And I think as the great soccer city that we always profess we are, we need people to go out to this game. 7,000 or 8,000 tickets, I think, are out right now. This is going to be good. The Washington Spirit, full of talented players. We've got Crystal Dunn in here and Joanna Lohman. They are coached by Jim Gabara. He is in here as well. They will take on the Western New York Flash and Paul Riley, who might be a bit of a surprise. But, Jim, let's just start with you. You're the head coach. And first of all, welcome. And this is the effort that they made to get here. They just flew in tonight and have come to the airport to come in studio. So for that, I say thank you. And I know that was a coach's decision, right?
Yeah, coach's decision I made last week when I was looking at the media schedule. But no, we're glad to be here. And, you know, we still have to continue to go to the game and do all we can and get out there and bang the drum and get people to come out to see what I think is the best product in the world, best female players, the quality and the level of play in our league is just astounding. And you can look at the two semifinal games as far as excitement and entertainment value. And, you know, we expect the same entertainment value on Sunday at BBVA.
Yeah, you guys beat the Chicago Red Stars. You did that in overtime. Francisco Ortega getting the game winner. And then, of course, the Western New York Flash. I mean, 20,000 people in Portland, 4-3 over Portland, Paul Riley's former team. So drama there, and it's all going to come to a head on Sunday, 4 o'clock. And again, it's NWSLChampionship.com for the tickets. You made the switch to the women's game a long time ago. You're a big believer in it. I know your wife was an excellent player and a World Cup winner. And but tell me how you made that change, because you know you're one of the guys that I look at in this country now that has always held the flag up for the women's game.
Yeah. Well, my wife played obviously for the national team, and when I was transitioning as from a player to a coach, obviously playing indoor back today. Wasn't a lot of good outdoor.
It was a good indoor player, too, by
good
the way.
Good indoor play. And, you know, after the 99 World Cup, they had the Toys R Us Victory Tour, which basically now has become the Victory Tour. But it was run by a management company, and they needed someone to coach the international team. I wasn't going to coach the U.S. players. So I was contacted by them and went in and coached. I mean, I had some really good players. I had Sawa, I had Charmaine Hooper, Kelly Smith. Pratina, Sissy.
Yeah,
I mean,
great
it was like
you're bringing
a couple of Norwegian players. It was fabulous. And since I had some indoor experience and knew how to coach, I'd coached indoor. We had a big leg up. I think we won the first five games of the 12 game series until Foudy came to me in D.C. Actually, ironically, and said, "Can you just come in the locker room and kind of get us organized a little bit?" Because they were using like guest coach. It was like a big fun thing for them. And being the competitor that I am, which is why. The main reason I'm in the game still is I still want to compete. I still want to win, but I want to do it at the top level. And these women, and as far as soccer players, are the best in the world. So I want to compete with them and have them compete in the best league in the world.
Oh, listen, it's not falling on deaf ears. People have watched your career. They've seen what you've done. So congratulations on that. Let's go to Crystal Dunn, who had a breakout year with the U.S. Women's National Team. And welcome, Crystal.
Thank you.
And you're very smiley, which is also good. She smiles when she scores goals.
It's I smile.
What do they call
that?
The assassin's killer smile, right? That's what you want your goal scorers to do. Crystal played at the University of North Carolina, as we know, was the number one draft choice in the league. What I want to go to you about real quick here before we get going is, first off, what this league did for you to obviously position you to kind of get the jump start on that national team career.
Yeah, a lot of my, you know, achievements I definitely give to the NWSL. I mean, last year, going through what I went through, you know, it provided me with a platform that, you know, I'm forever grateful for. It allowed me to be seen and allowed people to, you know, be aware of this game and this league as well. And, you know, I think it has a lot of great roots, and I think it's just going to continue to grow.
You were one of the last people that were not selected to go to the World Cup, right?
Mm-hmm.
Man, you were motivated. Tell me about that and sort of the soul searching you went through, if there was. Maybe there wasn't any. Maybe it was just, I don't know what it was. But what occurred there when you get that news and now you go to the Olympics?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it wasn't anything that I think I was like, oh my gosh, I have to completely transform myself. It was really about waking up, believing in myself and being like, you know what, you can be a really good player if you just, you know, tweak things here and there and just continue to enjoy the game. I think my initial reaction after, you know, I got that phone call was, oh my gosh, like I am just hanging up the boots. Like it's, you know, I need a little rest from soccer. And I think, you know, if I would have took that approach, I don't think I would have propelled in the way that I did. And for me, it was just, you know, getting back to enjoying the game and playing with the greatest players and people I get to play with every day.
Well, what about you when you were in your youth career? Was disappointment a part of player development? In other words, were you one of those that just were considered one of these, you know, everything went right in your youth career, you won everything, you scored goals, you get to North Carolina. How did that work?
Yeah,
did you have disappointments?
I mean, I probably had one disappointment, I think. It was a U-17 roster that I was trying to make. And actually, it was a U-16 roster I was trying to make that I missed out on, but then the following year I made the the 17 World Cup roster. So for me, and like many players at this level, we rarely go through a disappointing moment. So I think that's why it hurt so bad. I was kind of like, what is this feeling that I'm feeling right now? I've never felt it before. So, but for me, like I said, it was just enjoying the game and enjoying the journey through its ups and downs. You got to just enjoy doing what you're doing.
Yeah, that's great advice. I'm going to remember that after we leave. Can you save that for me, Tyler? Producer Tyler, save that last quote from Crystal Dunn. I need to tape that over my desk at home. All right, Joanna Lohman, Penn State, a Nittany Lion. I love it. Mm. Nittany Lions are going to be in the house at BBVA Compass Stadium. Big piece of the Washington Spirit midfield. How about you in your youth career? Was there any disappointments there?
There's so many. That's so many years ago, Glenn. I can't remember.
Come on. Yes, you can. Are you kidding?
Yeah. I think I've had a lot of setbacks and challenges in my career. I've been playing professionally for 12 years now, so I don't think you can play that long without being cut or getting injured. I've had some pretty significant injuries, and then I got cut before the 2007 World Cup from the national team. And I remember coming home and landing and just sobbing and my dad giving me a hug. And like Crystal, you somewhat question your identity at that point because you just – you're a soccer player. And when you get cut, it's like you're not good enough. But you put the pieces back together. You learn to come back from those setbacks and work harder and figure out, you know, what are your weaknesses and identify those and confront them and – you know, spend every day just tweaking them and getting better. And I think it's just made me such a, you know, a better person because of it.
Boy, I hope a lot of young youth players, male or female, are listening to this right now because we just had two wonderful quotes. Define your role in the midfield for the Washington Spirit for my listeners.
I think I'd like to believe I'm the one that provides a lot of the energy and does a lot of the dirty work. I think I understand my role. I don't consider myself a star. I'm someone who fits in and truly tries to understand what they bring to the team and do everything that the coaches ask of me. So I think that's more of on the defensive side, winning balls back, higher up on the field, giving the ball to Crystal Dunn so she can score. And, you know, that is a great role for me. I love hunting. I love getting the ball back after we lose it and providing it to the players that can score better than I can.
Ball winning's fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
This comes from a ball winner. But you know, did it take you a while to define what you were, you know, in other words, you know, as you go up levels, and I'm sure Jim can talk to this, the head coach, Jim Gabara, of the Washington Spirit in studio as well, Joanna Lohman, and also Crystal Dunn. Sometimes things you could do at the college level and other levels, all of a sudden you hit reality and, well, I can't do this at this level. Some people adapt quicker than others. Some never do and fade away. And you figure out what your strengths are and you go into games. All right, this is what I'm good at. This is what I'm not good at. This is where I'm going to try to stay. Did you have any of that sort of definition of your playing style and your role as you advanced levels?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I've bounced around on a few different teams, and I felt like when I came to the Spirit, I finally found a home. And, you know, I give a lot of credit to Jim, our head coach, and Denise, for appreciating the nuances of the game and understanding that, you know, you don't have to score the big goal. You don't have to make that amazing final pass. That winning a ball in the midfield can still provide a lot of value to the team. So, you know, they identified my strengths. And I think, you know, at this point in my career, it's more about what can I give to a team as opposed to what can a team give to me. Mm-hmm. And I adjusted my mentality because, you know, at 34, I think you just really want to appreciate, you know, the remaining years of your career, and you understand that you don't have to do everything the team needs. You can just be a role player and be a part of something that's much more beautiful than what you can accomplish as an individual.
What a moment for you. Great words. Crystal Dunn, coaches are different. Jill Ellis is different. Mm-hmm. Anson Dorrance is different. Mm-hmm. Jim Gabara. What do we call Jim? Is he an autocratic coach? Is he democratic? Is he throw stuff? What kind of coach is Jim? I don't think he does. That was a joke. But
Jim,
what type of coach is
stuff.
He?
I do not have to duck and watch for chairs being thrown.
But seriously, what kind of coach is he when you look at him?
Yeah, Jim came in with a lot of new ideas. And I know for a lot of us, we've been with one coach for 2-3 years, you know, and having a new coach this year, we off the bat knew, you know, new ideas are going to be brought in. And I think Jim did a good job of not changing what the foundation of the team was, but enhancing some things here and there and providing a good foundation of how he wants us to start every game and those kind of things. So I do feel like, you know, he stepped into a really great environment and he shed light on a lot of things that we do well, and he's also brought us up to speed on things that we could be doing better. So,
in studio, Crystal Dunn, Jim Gabara, Joanna Lohman, they're all of the Washington Spirit. We're giving tickets out to the NWSL final. It's this Sunday, 4 o'clock at the beautiful BBVA Compass Stadium. It's going to be a busy place down there. You got the Dynamo Saturday, you got the NWSL Championship. Now, if you're out there listening to the show, you want to go to a final, right? You want to go to a championship. Somebody's holding the trophy aloft. The way I'm looking at everybody in here, it's going to be Washington, but there is this team called the Western New York Flash. Jim, just tell us a little bit about the Spirit and maybe your purpose of play and for the listeners, you know, what they might be expected to see on Sunday?
Well, they're in for kind of a contrasting style. I think Western New York Flash is a very direct transitional team, very athletic, the most athletic team that we're going to face. We're a possession with a purpose team. We're a pressing team, so you're going to see two teams that are going to press, which I think is something that's evolving in the women's game. You're seeing a lot more more pressing for longer periods of time. But I think the biggest thing for me, the most rewarding thing that I've gotten out of this season is the fact that we're a real team. We had no players nominated for any individual awards. I was nominated as a finalist for the Coach of the Year. Obviously didn't get it, which is great because I think we're a team. And as Joe was alluding to, we've got a large group of players that understand and accept and embrace their role. Good pros, good experienced pros, understand the dynamics of our league where we're missing national team players from the Olympics for, you know, six games. And then when those players come back in, they've been through all that before. And, you know, I can't single out one player, which is great because we're a team and we play a team style and we not rely on one player. And I've been so gratified by the fact that we've had balanced contributions from every single player on our roster. And, you know, I think that bodes well for us as a team, but also for young players like rookies that we've invested in and, you know, national team players who, you know, they have things to work on as well. Our role in this league is to develop national team players. And if we can enhance their development and make them better players, that's kind of what we're supposed to be doing.
There's another good reason why you want to get down Sunday. Again, it's the Western New York Flash taking on the Washington Spirit. It's 4 o'clock. It's the NWSL Championship. Best league in the world, bar none?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, top to bottom. I mean, there's some leagues that have, you know, 2 to 4 teams that are highly competitive. But, you know, every time we step on the field in a match, even if it's a preseason match, it's going to be a battle. And there's no blowout games. There's no games where you can rotate your roster. I mean, you're in for a battle no matter who it is, no matter what their record is. And I think, you know, it gets even more enhanced as you get into the playoffs because you've got the top 4 teams that have been through that competitive cauldron. And now, you know, there's something, it's a knockout game. So the intensity is raised extremely, extremely high. And you look at our semifinal at home. Yeah, we won in overtime. You know, we had to ride out another 8 minutes. But we had Kristen Pess in behind our back line, one of the best goal scorers in the world, in the 92nd minute, and she hits it off the crossbar. And, I mean, we could have been done. I mean, it was really within like 30 seconds, the ref blows the whistle, and it's over. So, you know, there is some luck involved, but the margins are so, so razor thin. You know, you can't have days where half of your players are not, you know, firing at the best of their ability. And, you know, there's those games where maybe a couple players do it, but we've got such a good team that we've got other players that can lift them up or other players that can step in and do the role for them. And we've got about 5 players who I think could be starting. I mean, I look at our substitution list, and I think all those players could be starting every game for us. And it's hard for me to make those choices and see the look in their face when they're not given the opportunity to compete, especially playoffs and a final. It's very difficult.
What do you call that as a coach? A champagne problem?
I don't know. Yeah.
It's a champagne problem.
If you want to call it that, I'll start calling it that.
That means it's a good problem, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's, on behalf of the Washington Spirit now, let's give a pair of tickets away. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We got much more to go with Crystal Dunn. Can I call you Joe?
Absolutely. Please.
It's Joanna Lohman, but I'm going to call her Joe now since Coach called you Joe. Coach Jim Gabara, the Washington Spirit. Great to have all 3 in studio. Straight from the airport, they come here. This shows you how much passion they have around their league. They're out here selling it tonight. And it's one to get to. 7,000 to 8,000 tickets already out. It's BBVA Compass Stadium on Sunday. If you're a youth coach, I'm going to give you a very simple tip here. Player development is taking your players to an NWSL championship game. 7th caller right now at 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. You get a pair of tickets to the NWSL final at BBVA Compass Stadium.
ESPN 97.5. This beat is my recital. I think it's very vital to rock
around.
That's right.
On top.
It's tricky. Here we go. It's tricky to rock around. To rock around. That's right. On time. It's tricky. It's tricky.
Tricky.
Tricky. Tricky. It's tricky to rock around. To rock around. That's right. On time. It's tricky. Tricky. Tricky.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, let me quickly pay a few bills here. Liberty Kitchen. You know I love food. I'm heading to Liberty Kitchen after this, by the way, and that's no lie. I'm not going to tell you which location, but I am. Think of it as modern American comfort food. Their classics taken up several notches. So you got burgers, mac and cheese, chicken fried, mom's spaghetti chowder. It's farm-stand crisp food that Liberty Kitchen will put its own stamp on. They've got a number of different locations now. They just opened the Treehouse, which architecturally is a really cool place to go. It's Treehouse Memorial City. You got the Heights, River Oaks, Rice Village. Garden Oaks is cool. I've been to that location, too. That's tucked in a neighborhood across from an American Legion Hall. That is a really cool spot, actually. Just a quick reminder here. Liberty Kitchen, great sponsors of this show. They do the deviled eggs, Creole gumbo, oysters on the half shell. Signature cocktails and cold beer. By the way, we had Lance Fegan in here. I guess he's down surfing somewhere. But they came in here with like ceviches and all these like fish chowders, amazing stuff. So Liberty Kitchen is a great place to go. Also, we welcome the King's Court, 903 Hutchins. It's right by the south side of BBVA Compass Stadium. That's where the NWSL final is Sunday. So I'm going to the King's Court after doing TV on the Dynamo Colorado game. We're heading over there after. Great British pub food, Indian food. They got a rooftop down there. You can look at downtown. And we'll be there after the Dynamo match, but also the NWSL match. So come over there, join us. We'll break down the NWSL game. We'll break down the Dynamo game and have a few adult beverages maybe. And who knows, maybe the Washington Spirit might be there hoisting an NWSL trophy. It's right near the stadium, walking distance. All right, that's the King's Court. We welcome them in. All right, let's come back here. I'm going to start with you, Crystal. Crystal Dunn in studio, Joe Lohman, and the head coach, Jim Gabara, of the Washington Spirit. Talk to me a little bit about the Western New York Flash and give us your impressions of them as a team. We do know they're a direct team, mm-hmm. but maybe some of your insight.
Yeah, Western New York, I think, has had a really great season. I think Paul did a really good job of, you know, allowing his players to, you know, find their strengths and buy into his ideas. And I think, you know, they're a very tall group of girls, which is something that we have to watch out for. I mean, set plays and they have a long throw in that's dangerous and things like that we just have to be tuned in for. I think it's going to be a really great game. They're athletic. They like to press. As Jim said, we like to press. So it's going to turn into a very intense battle, I think, on Sunday.
You've played on differing teams with differing playing styles. And,
yes.
And I got to think, when you're on a possession-oriented team like mm-hmm. Jim puts out, it's fun.
Yeah.
Right? Definitely. The value on the ball, right?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Talk to me about your role and my listeners, your specific role playing up front and as a striker for the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we play with the three up front. And my role on the wide channel is to be connected with everybody and, you know, not sitting wide, which is definitely a change for me. I think I'm a wide player. I'm in the zone of being like, I want to stay in the wide channel and receive the ball out there so I can take on players. And for me, that was a bit of a change, but I think it makes sense. And like I said, just buying into it, it's been working and it's been allowing our team to get to where we are today. And for me, I'm just, you know, as a forward, I'm waiting for that chance, waiting for that ball and waiting for that moment to get creative.
One of the star attractions, Sunday at 4 o'clock, it's Crystal Dunn of the Washington Spirit. She's in the house. If you're a youth coach and you've got young soccer players, young or old, it really doesn't matter, or you're just a soccer fan, it's the place to be Sunday. 4 o'clock, it's on national TV. Great place and time to show off Houston's great soccer support as well. So there's a little self in this too. We as Houston can send a good message around the country that we support the women's game, and we support it in a very big way. So that's another reason to get out. Tickets are incredibly affordable to see these world-class athletes. Joe Lohman, talk about your career and you know, being a little older now and getting to this great moment of playing in a final.
This is a really special year because it's the fourth year It's a historic fourth year in a women's professional soccer league. So having played in the WPS, we hit 3 years, and same for the WSA. After 3 years, both the leagues folded. So to see this league be flourishing really in its fourth year is very special for me, having been in it almost since day one. And to see the fan support in Houston and to have this incredible host, to know that we've already sold 7,000-8,000 tickets, I think it's going to be an electric atmosphere and something that you dream of when you're a little kid. You know, I'm still pinching myself and wondering if this is real for me, because you know, you put in so much work day in and day out, and to see it culminate in an experience like this, I know for me it's going to be a life-changing experience.
You know, it's funny, during the commercial break, and you know, sometimes you got to reveal things that, am I okay to reveal a little story, Jim?
You do whatever you want. Your show.
I don't want to get on the bad side of the coach, or I might not get a game on Sunday. I don't want to play. I'm just kidding. So Jim Joe Lohman says to her head coach, hey, are we going to be able to go see the Dynamo Colorado game? That got shot down pretty fast by the head coach. Pretty quickly, he said, well, we might have a team meeting at that time, and since we're playing at 4 o'clock the next afternoon. But that told me something about you. Do you watch a lot of soccer?
Yeah, I love to watch soccer. Every weekend I watch English Premier League. I'm a big fan of Tottenham and Liverpool. I know it's sacrilegious, wow. But I am. I know. I'm sorry.
And Manchester United. Any other teams in there?
No, I hate Manchester United. Man, I hate Man United, okay?
Okay.
But I truly believe in being a student of the game and learning from the best that play. So not only watching my own games back and seeing how I can adjust, and but watching, you know, the best players in Europe every single weekend. We're so lucky to be able to see so many games. Having been to England on multiple occasions, they show one or two games a day. And here in the States, we actually televise more games than they do there. So I take full advantage of it, and I love to watch it every chance that I get.
Am I listening to a future coach one day, potentially?
Oh, I don't know about that. That requires a lot
of
patience.
You got a big smile. That's a guilty.
I admire Jim for his
patience. We're on the radio, but that was a very guilty. That's a very guilty smile and face right there across your forehead, by the way. Okay, Crystal, and what about you? I mean, bouncing back and forth between the Olympics now. How important is it for you and those on the national team to make sure that you're salespeople for this league? Because, look, the bottom line is you still have to sell it.
Yeah.
It's part of your job, right? Isn't that part of your job description, playing in the NWSL?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not receiving anything extra for it, but yes. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I do think the national team players definitely, I think we all have an understanding that, you know, we have to make sure people are aware of the NWSL, and I think we all value it, and we know how much this has done for so many of us, especially me. Like I said, I owe a lot of my success in my career to the NWSL, and you know, this is a historical year, and I'm so happy that it's been flourishing in the way it has, and it's important for us to keep people aware of the sport. And just like I said, the game's going to be on TV as well on Sunday, which is awesome. I think in the near future, we would like more games to be on TV so people can have that awareness and, you know, not have to, like, flip through YouTube or if it's freezing, you know, have any issues with being able to watch us play. And I think that's something that we're looking forward to in the future. And we just have to keep promoting it and keep having people aware of our sport.
Jim, connect the dots with the college game, because I'm astounded to how many college games are now on television. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty amazing. You look at some of the schedules of teams, and 50 to 60% of their games are on television. It's remarkable. And they're certainly on the internet. Mm-hmm. Tie that into the NWSL, tie the college game into the NWSL and its importance to the league.
It's great for me personally, because now I can sit there with my full DVR and watch, you know, every game from, you know, West Coast, East Coast, where in the past you used to have to travel. And I'm very fortunate to live in Maryland, where you can get a lot of quality games when Maryland was in the ACC. Now I can see all the Big 12, Big 10, Big 12 games, and then go out to Virginia to watch the ACCs. But it's great that they're getting that exposure. And I think it's all part of I think we've gone past the tipping point in the women's game, where I'm sitting in a sports bar in New Jersey during the Women's World Cup, and looking around to a stuffed bar and seeing, you know, your average sports fan engaged and cheering for our U.S. women's national team. I didn't think I'd see 30,000 season tickets in Seattle when we were playing. I never thought I would see that for the women's game. And I think we've reached that tipping point now where we've got, you know, we're in past leagues, we were worried about teams folding, like the days when we had teams folding, leagues folding, where am I going to play next? You know, where do I have to move to? We're at the point now where that's not even a thought. We were talking about it. Well, is there going to be expansion this year?
Yeah.
And are they going to do two teams? And you've got a lot of MLS teams that are interested, just as the Dash and the Dynamo here have done, and Portland has done, and Orlando has done. There's a lot of interest there for women's teams in the NWSL. And I think that's critical, that reaching that tipping point. But you know, we still have to work at it. There's still a lot of things we need to improve, because our bar every year as clubs and a league is pushed to improve for players, making it better for them, trying to increase the salaries. Is the training environment the best it can possibly be? You know, are our facilities the best they could possibly be? And every market has their own little challenges. Some they're great at, and some, you know, they're not so good. So there's always work to be done. But, you know, as for the college game, that's up until now, that's been where players have been identified to make that leap. And I say it's a leap. It's a huge gap between playing in college women's soccer and playing in our league. You know, these players are used to maybe four highly competitive games, and they're now getting up to 25 of that in our league. And you know, you see these rookies, they just completely hit the wall about 10, 15 games in.
Training every day, longer periods of time.
And just the mental strain and the psychological strain. I mean, it's your job, and you're getting challenged every single day, and you got some jerk coach who's, for the first time in their life, telling them, well, you know what, maybe you're not good enough, or you have to do this to be able to play. Where, mm-hmm. you know, they've always been starting. They've always been playing every minute. And the level of our league is so competitive, even in training, that, you know, they've got to embrace that and say, all right, this is a chance for me to learn, and this is how I'm going to get better. And like you were saying earlier, there's players who they'll hit that wall, and they go away. And there's others who, all right, I'm like Joe, I'm going to battle through it. I see this as a way for me to improve and get better. So it's all part of the growth process. Right now, the college structure is very important for developing players. I think you see a change with development academies being started for girls.
How do you feel about that? Is it a good thing to do that now while you're still trying to make sure that the roots for your core business, which is your league, is extending and you know, expanding? Because I kind of thought about that one. I'm wondering, is this the right timing for it? And I know there are reasons for it. There's a lot of differing reasons. Yeah. What do you think?
Well, first of all, like I tell my players, you control what you can control. And that's good not answer. Something that I can control. Right. I mean, that's U.S. Soccer's deciding that they're going to run a girls' academy just the way they do the boys. And I think it's great. You know, everybody's going to have some painful times with, you know, the change in the age group. The no high school, but the pro teams have to be aligned with player development at the club level. And our country is so big, our resources are so massive. I mean, I think we could put three really good national teams on the women's side out there. So it's something that I don't have any control of the timing. I feel like it's very important that the pro team is the team that's running development academy in their market, mm-hmm. Because that tie is there to the league. And you know, it's going to be years down the road. We'll go, oh, yeah, it wasn't such a big deal. Just like the age adjustment and, you know, the non-high school. It's difficult, but I think it's the way the game has to evolve. And it's been proven that's the way it's done on the men's side. And I don't see why it should be any different on the girls' side, outside of the fact that girls are more social at the high school age. You know, there's some other areas that you need to be aware of there, but you know, if you're a soccer player and you're an elite soccer player, you've got to be in the developmental pyramid for your local pro team.
He's Washington Spirit head coach Jim Gabara in studio. They came directly pretty much from the airport in a hotel. Crystal Dunn as well. And Joe Lohman is in here as well. All right, talk to me about these two as leaders. Because, you know, when you go do these media deals, a lot of times you're bringing the big leaders or the ones that, you know, obviously set the tone for your team. Talk to me about Crystal and Joe.
Well, Crystal's our fun personality, smiling, dancing, singing all the time, and has that great ability to, you know, transition from she's joking around and the next minute she's zipping past you and scoring a goal. So, you know, I think her leadership is more one by example. Being a younger player of our two U.S. national team players with Allie Krieger, I think, you know, Allie takes a lot of the leadership as being the more mature, older captain of the team. But, you know, I think Crystal offers an awful lot that she probably doesn't even realize because, you know, she doesn't see what the team's like when she's not there.
So, Jim, I'm going to give you 30 seconds because we got to get off the air. And
all right.
So I'm not cutting you off. Quickly on Joe.
Well, Joe, I think, embodies what our team is about. We talk about, you know, accepting and embracing your role. And she's got the experience and willingness to share that with the younger teammates. Also, she's kind of the glue with our whole organization and our team where, you know, she kind of binds us all together, whether it's national team players, whether it's rookies, whatever it might be. So I think that's a critical part of any team.
All right, Jim Gabar, Crystal Dunn, Joanna Lohman, best of luck in the NWSL Final. Washington Spirit in studio right now. Caller number 2, 4, and 6. It's 713-780-3776. Caller 2, 4, and 6. You get a pair of tickets to the NWSL Final. 4 o'clock Sunday, BBVA Compass Stadium, Washington against Western New York.
ESPN 97.5.